Well, good evening again. It's good to be with you and have the opportunity of once again taking part in just a group of people who want to lift their voices to the Lord in praise and honor and spend time studying His Word, go to Him in prayer, remember who we are and why we're here. So I appreciate very much being able to be with you this evening. Look with me over in John, the third chapter, a very famous chapter, John the third chapter, where Nicodemus comes to him at night. And it's been a much discussed chapter for many centuries. Really behind that was just a major question of the Son of God and Jesus himself and what he was trying to accomplish and why, the way and the method of our Lord. But John, the third chapter, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Thus begins the discussion between two very powerful people, one politically powerful, knowledgeable of many years. As you read and talk to him, he says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Most are in agreement that he's talking about being someone who's a member of the Sanhedrin, sort of the Supreme Court that sat and ruled in Jerusalem. He is a Pharisee. He is the ones who would represent the largest group of Jewish people. And he's a person who has come to Jesus, and he's recognized certain things about Jesus. This man came to Jesus by night. He said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. No one can do the things that you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus recognizes some things about Jesus, and it's Nicodemus later on that defends him before the Sanhedrin when he asks some questions and they're not too agreeable to his questions. Interesting that he comes to him at night, and that may be because they're both busy all day long and involved in some activities in which he wanted to be able to talk to Jesus one-on-one for a few minutes, if possible. But it's just amazing the way he would admit some things. We know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. And yet doesn't seem to have any true concept of the idea of a new birth, of the essential inner man. And of course, that was a problem of the Jewish people throughout history. They thought of themselves as being sons of Abraham, period. They were sons of Abraham physically. They were the sons and daughters of Abraham, and that's why they still feel about it. That the physical tie to Abraham and his descendancy was the thing that identified them as the promised people. And so many things changed when the gospel began to be proclaimed, that it was a person of conviction and faith in the Lord that would be acceptable to the Lord. And that gets us into talking about Cornelius and then going into all of the world where Paul would go to all the synagogues teaching Jesus Christ. But it's just interesting, you'd have one here that he seems to recognize some things about Jesus, but he's not able to comprehend something that many of the Old Testament writers, like David talked about, and Isaiah many times. Also, as you look at it, we're very early in the time of Jesus' preaching and teaching. John seems to start pretty close to the beginning of what Jesus was trying to accomplish. And he was making quite an impact upon society already. He was making a definite impact. I mean, here's one that one of the rulers of Israel would go to at night and talk to him about the things that he's preaching and teaching, instead of having him come before the Sanhedrin and having an open discussion or having them hand down a decision about him. But if you like, for example, go back to the first chapter, John the Baptist would start it all pointing everyone to Jesus in John the first chapter, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Imagine having heard that the first time. And certainly understanding what the Lamb of God meant to all the Jewish people throughout all of history. They knew what the Lamb of God was. It was that one that was sacrificed at the Passover. And they remember that great feast and that time of deliverance when they would leave Egypt and go toward the promised land. And here is John the Baptist, that one which was indicating the one that was to come. So you really have two people. You've got Jesus announcing things and teaching things, and then you've got John the Baptist that is saying, this is the one, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And then the next chapter over, you know this one too. In the second chapter, Jesus goes into the temple, and you read, for example, like verse 13 of the second chapter. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. Absolutely packed place. Verse 14, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and dove and the money changers doing business. And when he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money, overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold dove, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Well, that would get his popularity going pretty quickly. I mean, how many people in Jerusalem at that time didn't know what happened that day? That might have been the better question. And it continues on like this, into the third chapter where he's meeting and speaking with, and there were other things that he did, but Nicodemus would ask him about. And when you get over into the fourth chapter where he talks about the woman with the woman at the well, and the woman, after discussing things with him, let's see, fourth chapter, verse 19, and the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet, which was an interesting thing because she was a Samaritan. He's speaking to her. And she recognizes a Jewish person to be a prophet, and Jesus goes on to say, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. And then later on, she says in verse 25, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And you know all about the Gospel of John. John, the sixth chapter, he does this long, extensive discussion on I am the bread of life. In the eighth chapter, I'm the light of the world. Just tremendous voices or statements made in the presence of these people. In the 11th chapter, I'm the resurrection and the life. In the chapter 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, he was not trying to hide anything about who he was and what his purpose was. He was there for other reasons. He was here to announce himself, yes. But as a result of these things, and probably some other things we don't know about, Nicodemus was able to see the power that he had and conclude with such power that, like all the way back in the third chapter again, it says, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. Be interesting to know who the we were. I'm sure it was some other leaders. Some of them did not agree with him. But he observed also, which is the interesting part, well, not that he had the power and they recognized he came from God, but he made the statement, Rabbi, we know you're a what? You're a teacher. Which is kind of interesting. Just that idea We know you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do the things you do unless God be with him. Jesus not only announced himself as being the way, the truth, and the life, the bread of life, and all of the things that we know of his great I Ams, but what he was recognized also as he was on this earth and on the years that he was teaching, he was that he was a teacher. He was trying to teach, man. He didn't just come down the cross, which he did come to down the cross. He didn't just come to have one action in his life. He came for the purpose also to speak the words of teaching. And we know what a teacher is. A teacher is someone who imparts knowledge, someone who imparts a or teaches a skill, or someone who gives an instruction of how to. I mean, it's not only just all of those steps that were leading to Calvary, but it was Jesus is saying, I'm teaching you something. Not only just who I am, but why I'm here. Why am I doing the things I'm doing? And that began to be the question. And that probably was part of the question that Nicodemus had in mind. I mean, you would have thought when God, Jehovah, the creator of the world, would come into the universe and come to the people of God, he wouldn't come as a meek and lowly Galilean carpenter, walking around with scratchy wool robe and sandals and things like that. That's not the way God of God would do it, would he? Or maybe that's not the way we think we'd do it. But that's exactly what Jesus did. Claiming to be Jehovah, Elohim, the Creator. And then when people heard those words, well, they were insulted by it. Well, you're not God. You're just some Galilean carpenter. That's why so many times they thought he was crazy. But that's the point that's been made through the centuries of him being a teacher. He not only said, I'm like God, he said, I am God. And nobody could understand that. Nobody was there. And the Jewish nation as a whole rebelled against it. No. Greatest things that we must understand, he's not only our Lord and Savior, which he is, but he's our teacher. I read a great comment or a quote one time about teachers, and I thought it was so very good. A Japanese proverb, and it says, better than 1,000 days of diligent study is one day with a great teacher. And I thought, man, what a great point. Is that you could watch Jesus every day, just going from village to village, speaking and teaching and acting the way he did, and you would be seeing God among his people, which was an insult to so many people. But that's exactly what he was doing. And here's Nicodemus. Nicodemus recognizes this. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, which is, in other words, master, we know that you're a teacher come from God. Or Nicodemus understood that. And that's what gets into all these centuries gone by. Why would the Son of God come like this instead of just exploding out of heaven like a Masters of the Universe or Superman or something like that and just crashing a thunderous kingdom to the earth? Because that's not what God wanted. That's not what God is. And I've often thought that I think that's some of the most difficult things that we can try to appreciate and understand, that the humility of Jesus was a teacher coming to let me instruct you. Let me teach you. So many times that's not the case.
a teacher, you know, our school teachers today, a teacher at any time, takes that which is complex so many times and teaches it in a simplified way. And maybe we have to go step by step before we can grasp the complex. That's what teachers do. They take that and break it down and say, it's like this. Or they take abstract concepts. Abstract, I don't mean something like measuring the carpet on the floor. I mean abstract concepts like love, faith, life, the purpose of life, birth and death, those things that you just can't put a finger on. I mean, if you want to measure the amount of carpeting you need in your den, you can do that pretty quick. But when we start talking about life and start talking about faith and hope and love, Those are abstract things. They're separated from the world, and we have to put some effort into thinking about the causes and the consequences. And so we needed a teacher that would come into the world and teach us the things that most pointedly would be what we needed. Because mankind by himself doesn't have the knowledge, doesn't have the answers. I mean, here we can build atomic bombs and put somebody on the moon, but the Bible still teaches the truth about mankind. And you know all the verses. Jeremiah 10, verse 23, the way of a man is not within himself. The way of man is not within himself. Proverbs 14, verse 12, it's not in man who walks to direct his own path. Proverbs 14, that verse 12 where he says, there's a way that seems right, but the end thereof is the way to death. We need somebody to teach us, and the best way was not just a dictation, but someone to come in and live this life for us. So many times people, we don't have all the answers. That'd probably be the best place to start. If you're here in John the third chapter, and Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he said, Jesus, we recognize this about you. The astounding power and ability we don't deny. But he makes this statement, no one can do these things unless God is with him. And Jesus just cuts to chase. I think Jesus recognized what he was wanting to build up to and ask about. Jesus just said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again, kingdom of God? And Jesus goes on to explain it a little bit. In verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? He's a part of the Sanhedrin. And look at Jesus' answer, verse 10. Jesus answered and said to him, are you a teacher of Israel, and you do not know these things? If a member of the Sanhedrin court needed to listen to Jesus to talk about the truth of who he was and what mankind ought to be, that unless a man is born of water and spirit and have a concept of that, an understanding of that, and the determination to do that, he said, you're going to miss the entire thing. He said, you don't understand that. That's what Jesus is trying to do. Jesus taught. That's why Jesus would say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And there are people that are extremely intelligent and well-educated in our society today and know nothing about Jesus. Sad part. We need, and this is Jesus, the Son of God on the earth, we need to be taught about God. Understanding what God's thinking, understand the role that God placed on teaching, which meant to study, to look at things, to ponder things. Proverbs, the 25th chapter and verse 4, show me your ways, O Lord. We sing that song, don't we? Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. That's what David was asking of God. Or Psalms 25 and verse 12. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. God wanted to teach mankind, not just throw out a bunch of rules, wanted them to understand things of life. To be a Christian today, the first thing we all recognize, if somebody decides, I'd like to know something about the church and Christianity, the first thing we do, I don't think we use the word, but we say, we need to teach. Somebody's got questions like that or telling you, I don't know about this. I don't have these answers. Only by being taught, reading the Word of God, or having someone push the Bible across the table and say, this right here, this is the point. Only by being taught will we become and remain people of God. That's it. There's nobody that's a member of the Lord's church that hasn't been taught and doesn't know the truth. Over in John 6th chapter, you look down at verse, we've read these verses, but sometimes trying to put it back into context. John 6, and we read verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. Verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Well, what if we're not taught by God? What if we don't know anything about God? Well, then we're not going to come to him. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. You've got to be taught. In so many ways that Jesus does that, in his authority, in his abilities to do things, in his parables. We can't become children of God not only without being taught, but we can't become the people of God by the nation in which we were born. It doesn't work that way. We don't become children of God by accident. We don't become children of God and Christians by intuition. It just doesn't dawn on us one day. We can't become Christians by reasoning about the physical world. Psalms 19 verse 1 tells us, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Well, we can do a lot of figuring that way. But that's not going to tell you what to do to be in fellowship with God. You're going to have to learn about Christ. We're going to have to learn the truth. To be a Christian, you had to be taught by the Father, which means being taught by the Son. Look with me over in the 8th chapter of John. 8th chapter of John and verse 28. And here's what, man, they were just totally disconnected here. But you and I can almost understand the points that he's trying to make, but they could back up a few verses. Let's see, verse 23. And he said to them, you are from beneath and I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And then they said to him, who are you? Can you imagine just standing there and hearing them say, when he said something like that, and they just said, who are you? I mean, like talking to somebody from another planet or something. And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. Next verse, verse 27. And they did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Verse 28, Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. Jesus wasn't just saying a bunch of words. He was living the point of us understanding God, and they weren't getting it. They just weren't. We're not going to see it. And we need a teacher, because we are so confined to this world that we think in past, present, and future, and length and width, and we think in physical things, and we need one like this to teach us the truth. And the reason for that is because we have a sin problem. All there is to it. Isaiah 59 verse 2 tells us, your sins separate you from God. And that's just, Isaiah made that point to the Jewish people and they didn't get it or see it. I mean, and man cannot solve this sin problem. Romans 6 verse 23. You can't do it because the wages of sin is what? Wages of sin is death. You and I are not going to solve it. It's going to have to be some other way and something to it. And it's not our knowledge of everything. You remember over in Acts 26 chapter, and the Apostle Paul is speaking to Festus and Agrippa, King Agrippa, and he's explaining to them why he became a Christian. And he's explaining to them to the best of his ability the things of Christ. And you read down at verse 24, and Festus all of a sudden interrupts him. Verse 24, and now as he thus made his defense, Festus with a loud voice said, Paul, you are beside yourself. You're much learning. It's doing what? It's driving you crazy. He's standing there telling them about the Son of God, how to be acceptable to God. And I said, Paul, you're crazy. I'll put that in a bulletin this morning. And yet, if you back up to the 22nd chapter, this great, intelligent, well-educated one was told in Acts 22 and verse 16, the preacher finally said, why tarriest thou, Paul? Do what? No doubt how educated he was, how what he understood. But finally, somebody just said, hey, Paul, you need to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Because the way mankind looks at the things of God, they don't see it. And we could go on with this for a long time, I believe, because I think that's part of the background study of the whole Bible, is that we're not seeing the things of God. We're just looking at other people's lives. And what we need is the knowledge of God. And not just knowledge, not just data, but we need to understand what we need to do and how we need to be and how we need to think. We do need instruction. We do need skills. But we need to put ourselves in the Word of God and put ourselves in the place of these people where they were asking, what must I do? That's what happened on the day of Pentecost, wasn't it? Because God has chosen teaching as the means of communicating with mankind. In our life, I guess just because of our mental makeup, we spend a lot of our early life just being taught. There comes a time when very, very early we're just taught how to tie our shoes. And then later on we're expected to start making applications and understanding things. But that God has communicated with us is what Paul would later write to the Ephesians in Ephesians, the third chapter. He says in verse 4, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul would tell them, what I received by revelation. And when you read those things that I've written, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And they could be a brilliant engineer and not see it. Or some other gifted, educated person. And that's why that so many people, especially the Jewish people, I mean, in John 6, when he just said, it's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. What were they thinking or not thinking about when the Messiah would come? And that everyone who has heard of the Father hath learned comes unto me. Kind of running out of time, so I might just take this up next week. But let me just end Matthew 28. You know, Matthew 28, last few verses. Just look there at the end. Just exactly the way Jesus himself says it, going to all the world. He said, all authority in heaven has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples. What was a disciple? A disciple was a student, a learner. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things which I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the end of the world. And that's what the Gospels are all about. And the further instructions by the apostles and how the churches and are organized and what the work is they're supposed to be doing and what is it that Jesus was teaching us. This is just a whole list of things. He's teaching us God. He's teaching us how we are to teach one another. Let me just stop right there. We'll continue with this on next time. It's just interesting to me, though, that a very well-educated person and an experienced person, not somebody who was young at all, who would be a part of the Sanhedrin, that group of 70 rulers of Israel, couldn't, you know, he'd listen to what Jesus said and he said, how can these things be? And if they would have that trouble, a lot of other people would, because they're not thinking God's thoughts. They're thinking politically or financially or many other ways and are not thinking the things of God. But Jesus would close out the book of Matthew by saying, go in all the world, make disciples of all nations, learners. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them. And that's what we're going to do for the rest of our life. We're going to read and study and learn and continue to learn and make our lives harmonize with the Word of God. We're students. We're being taught. That's why it's been preserved for us. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the body of Christ, I extend to you heaven's invitation. I would hope there might be one here that would have the faith to stand and confess the Lord Jesus. We'd be back glad to baptize them into Christ. Or maybe a child of God desires the prayers of the brethren. If you're subject this evening, would you please come as we stand and sing?